minute, after we had recorded this full episode, all the nuts and pieces, is that a thing? We saw that there was really cool, big time breaking news that Marvel Studios Avengers Infinity War is in theaters everywhere. April 27th, mark your calendars, change all your plans, get ready, it's going down. Yeah! Hello, Marvelites. Welcome to This Week in Marvel. I'm Ryan Panagos, a.k.a. Agent M, joined by...
Assistant Editor Tucker Marquez, joined by...
Nick Lowe, mother lovers! I'm the comic editor and awesome dancer.
Songsmith?
Theme song smith.
Yeah, that was
this
good.
This Week in Marvel. This Week in Marvel.
Nick, you are a longtime guest of the show. You have broken tables.
It's true.
You have tripped and fallen into the set as we have been recording over the years.
Also true.
But you've also antagonized Tom Brevoort many times.
Well, he's a monster.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you have championed so many books over the years. And
I got a lot of love.
You do.
I got a lot of love to give.
Yeah, a lot of love to give. You know, first off, this week I wanted to talk about some of the big news because we have been coming out guns blazing with tons of comic news. Lots of stuff happening these days.
Unreal. A lot of these plans are things that we've had in the works for quite some time. So to finally talk about this stuff is amazing.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about.
Let's
first
do
up
it.
Is The Immortal Hulk, which is a new book written by Al Ewing, mm-hmm. art by Joe Bennett. That comes out in June, and it's sort of sending Hulk back to his monstrous origins. And I remember in the last retreat, we were in the room. Were you in the room for when they were talking about what the Hulk book was going to be?
Yeah.
And they were talking about how it was going to be this horror book and really getting into it. And then I started thinking about Al and how his mind works and stories he tells.
There may not be a more versatile writer in comics today. Mm. When you look at his various books from, I mean, obviously like thing like the U.S. Avengers and his Ultimates run, which is awesome, to like one of my favorite books of the last several years is Rocket Raccoon, the 6-issue thing, which is unreal. Mm. He can do goofy, he can do serious action adventure, and this is where he shows us what he can do horror wise and from what I've seen, it is terrifying.
Yeah, I'm excited. Terrifying. Joe Bennett is going to be on art, so Joe's such a versatile artist, too, so I'm excited to see.
I've loved Joe since his work. I mean, he was on The Crew with Priest back in the day. So I've been here for a long dang time. When I first started back in 2002, I was working on Marvel Knights, and Joe Bennett was drawing some of the Elektra issues that Greg Rucka was writing at that time.
Yep.
But he is just like a veteran who has so much versatility, so many channels he could turn on. And this book is going to be killer.
Yeah, totally. Also in June, we have Thor #1.
Thor!
Written by Jason Aaron with art by the amazing Mike Del Mundo. So it sees the start of a new mission for the God of Thunder. The artifacts of Asgard have been scattered across the Earth, and to reclaim them, Thor will have to face some ugly truths, like the production cost of hundreds of new hammers. And he'll need every last one of them if he's going to stop the unstoppable when none other than the Juggernaut joins the fray. Again, I'm thinking about being in the room at the retreat when Jason was talking about this book and talking about the hammers and the axes and the maces and all the things that Thor is going to need to use because he ain't got no Mjolnir.
No.
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir. I'm so afraid of spoiling anything in the end of The Mighty Thor because that is my favorite Marvel comic right now. My favorite Marvel comic is Thor, is Mighty Thor. And I'm so excited about this one. I mean, Jason, what he's pitched on this with Odin's Son, his ongoing plans for Odin's Son and how this works with the multiple hammers and all these adventures and what he's got coming. And we'll be talking a little bit. Have you already talked about Avengers on this show?
Which Avengers? Like
the new one that we announced.
We talked about that last week a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'm always happy to talk about Avengers because it's got Jason and Ed McGuinness.
Oh, my God. Which I'll take credit for, Ed McGuinness on there. Yeah, I told Tom he'd be insane if he didn't put Ed McGuinness on that book.
Did you punch Tom in the face? Like, Tom, you take Ed
verbally. Verbally. And I would have
no
followed up. But yeah, we try to keep the violence on the page. And one of the coolest things coming is that having Jason write Avengers and Thor, of which Thor is in both of those things, is going to be super exciting because his plans only get bigger as he starts to tie things together.
Yeah.
And almost every book he writes ties together in some way to the other ones that he's written, whether it's, you know, seeing like Cade Kilgore and the Hellfire Club people show up or, you know, iBoy or these different things that kind of like trail through the multiple books. Quentin Quire showing up in Thor recently was so cool.
Or the Orb, who I think was in Jason's Ghost Rider
for
11 years, Jason has been doing the Lord's work to make the Orb an amazing, like, standout villain.
In Ghost Rider, he put him in Ghost Rider. He put him in Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine. He's a big part of that. He showed up in Wolverine proper, and then hugely in Original Sin. Doctor Strange, he was in some awesome issues of his Doctor Strange run as well, where with his powered upness from Original Sin. Anyway, Thor is going to be amazing, and that and Avengers together, I just can't. My brain exploded.
Yeah.
So this is me working with no brain.
Yeah, no, your brain's gone. Tucker and I, we've been talking about Thor immensely. I know you love that book. And
yeah.
When Jason finishes what he's wants to tell with Thor, I don't know that you can get any bigger so far.
Yeah. To me, he and Walt are just pounding on each other's door with this as far. Like, no one could have imagined anyone, like, rivaling Walt's run on there.
No.
And Jax as well. With Jax with, like, the Tales of Asgard
Tales
and all
of
that
Asgard
kind of stuff.
So cool.
So cool. But just the different levels they found that have kind of changed the core of this character. And you see it from what the work that they've done in how Thor works in other media, too, in the animation, in the movies, and all that kind of stuff. Like, they're more referencing the Walt and now Jason stuff than even the Stan and Jack stuff, which is crazy to think about.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I like, when we all step back from this, it's going to be, like, unbelievable. And that's what a crazy time we live in now as Marvel fans, to have so many seminal runs that are huge for the characters. It's nuts. With Dan Slott on Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, who?
I know, right? I mean, Ta-Nehisi's run on Black Panther right now is unbelievable.
Yeah, and coming up and all this other stuff. Before we finish with Thor, Mike Del Mundo on art, who is crushing it. And when you talk about how this Thor that Jason's been working on has influenced the films and influenced the way we think about Thor, I can't wait to see what Mike's designs and work and landscape and the way he literally paints his pictures of the world that Thor inhabits, what that's going to do for the perception for the character and Asgard and everything.
I mean, there is no better cover artist in the business, as far as I'm concerned, than Mike Del Mundo, and his interiors are just as good.
Yeah. There's tons more big number ones, big launches. Captain America.
It was announced today.
It was literally announced today, a couple days for you guys listening. Yep. Captain America by Ta-Nehisi Coates and Lanil Yu coming in July.
Ooh-wee.
Again, I got to go back to that retreat, being in the room where Ta-Nehisi laid out his plans for what he's thinking about. It's just, dude's just, he's deep into it.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
Covers on that are going to be done by Alex Ross, which is so incredible. Nick, I really wanted to pick your brain, having worked with him extensively.
Oh my gosh.
Can you talk about what that's like?
How does
that work?
It's pretty much just admiration.
Right.
So he's been doing covers on Amazing Spider-Man for me for the last couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And he came out with our most recent number one, volume four. And, you know, we're up to issue with the change numbering. I think he's turned the cover to 800, not from 1 to 800, which is, I think, like 40-something. And I think in those 40 covers, maybe one I've said, like, given a note on the sketch. Like, he is a genius. Like, he is a genius that we are so lucky to have. And the craziest thing about it, just when you think you've got someone, what they can do, he'll turn in a cover that just changes the way you look at him. And he's done that on Spider-Man with me. And I've walked into the horrible Tom Brevoort's office, and on his wall is the issue 3 cover for Captain America, which I hasn't been shown yet. But just put this in your head, listeners, because that cover, I've never seen Alex paint like this. He reinvented himself for it. It's crazy. Lanil Yu on that book too. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. It's so good. I mean, you could see it. I think the only image we've shown is the cover to the Free Comic Book Day story, which Lanil did.
Right.
And it's just amazing getting to see him, like, just focus on Cap. I mean, I've always loved his Cap when he's drawn him in Avengers.
The new Avengers and
Secret Invasion and things like that. But this is extra special.
Yes. You said the horrible Tom Brevoort, and now
he's
picturing a comic called The Horrible Tom Brevoort.
It'd be accurate.
Yeah. And it's just like him as, like, a not this man, this monster, because that's too sympathetic.
Yeah.
But more, you know, like an old school Atlas era book.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yep.
We've got Ant-Man and the Wasp coming in June by Mark Waid and Javier Garon.
Yes.
Mark Waid has a friggin' degree in physics.
Yeah.
Like, he just knows things about the world that inform the way he writes things. And you can see that even in when we're, you know, Avengers No Surrender, you know, he's got stuff with Nadia and then going in, you know, shrinking down and thinking about the way that the brain works and synapses and lightning and stuff like that. And then we're going to have Nadia with Scott I think Mark said they're looking to sort of redefine and restructure the way we think of the microverse.
Yep.
Which is cool.
He wasn't looking for another project to take on. And then when we said it was Ant-Man and Wasp, he's like, okay, I'm in. He's like, I've literally had like a research folder for years waiting. I mean, he wrote my favorite Ant-Man / Giant Man story, which was the preamble to Avengers AI years ago. He wrote a one-issue thing with Hank Pym in that one. But just the coolest use of the Giants and Ant powers that I've ever read, and just so cool. So I was so stoked that he accepted that book. And Javier Garon, what a rising star, and what a lovely human being.
Nice. Man, there's so many more announcements. Yep. Speaking of Mark Waid, Doctor Strange by Mark Waid and Jesus Saiz.
Yes.
That's coming in June. And again, we were talking to Mark, and he was like, yeah, you know, we're going to take Doctor Strange into space. It was like,
yep.
Oh, and then I started thinking of like what he can do with that and the different types of magic and cool stories yep. there.
And this is a book that I'm editing. So when I offered this to Mark, we were talking about stuff, and we met in, I can't remember if it was in Chicago or San Diego at a convention last year, and we started talking about it and like going through what those possibilities for the story were. And it just got cooler and cooler, because he said, you know, like, what is a sorcerer on like a Skrull planet like? What's a Kree sorcerer like? What's all these kind of things? And, you know, when we kick off this issue, I'm sure what he'll be talking about, we've seen Strange have problems with magic in the last few years. It's worse than ever when you pick up this issue one. And he's kind of hit rock bottom in like what he can do. And he's feels like he can't do the job as a Sorcerer Supreme, when Iron Man suggests go to space. And that's exactly what we do. And we have so many awesome surprises up our sleeves for you guys. And we are so lucky to have Jesus Saiz on this book. I mean, he's basically a painter as well.
Yeah.
We have these two already finished, two beautiful issues painted, done. And they are unbelievable work. I mean, we feel like we say this with every artist on a new project, the best work of his career, just because we have the best artists in the world and they're always growing. Like, Jesus has taken it up another notch, and people are going to lose their minds when they read this book.
That's awesome. We've got Life of Captain Marvel coming in July from Margaret Stoll and Carlos Pacheco. This is an interesting tale. This one is a little bit different.
Do you remember a little book called Origin that happened back in the
year 2000
or right around
there? Do we have to pay Conan for that?
I don't think so.
You know what? I do remember the book Origin.
Yeah.
Paul Jenkins, Joe Quesada.
Andy Kubert. Yeah.
Well, Wolverine Origin.
Yep.
I want to make sure it's true. if someone doesn't know.
We're old. Very old. And there are youngins listening to this. Yeah, so
it's great. Read it on Marvel Unlimited.
Yep,
or go to your local comic shop.
And that was such a huge watershed moment for Wolverine, and such a huge watershed moment for that era of Marvel. And this is that of now. Like, this story is huge for the character of Captain Marvel and for the Marvel universe, in the same ways that Origin was. Margie Stoll has done such an awesome job writing it, and Carlos Pacheco turning in, again, the work of his career, and in working on a book that is unlike he's worked on ever. Like when you see Carlos Pacheco, he's drawing these huge superhero stories, and there are definitely big superhero stuff going on here, but it's also very much a real life story with human roots in a town in Maine, if I recall, and about Carol and her family and her life. And you see a different channel on the Carlos Pacheco TV. That's a weird metaphor. But it just incredible work.
Yeah, I'm excited for that one. Also excited for a little book called Iron Man,
ooh,
Dan Slott and Valerio Schiti. That's coming in June. Now, you've worked with Dan for a long time.
I have.
You know much about Dan and his working life.
I both love him, and he drives me crazy. I love you, Dan, and you know you drive me crazy. Okay. But Dan is amazing. And again, this is another retreat one. He came in, and he pitched what he was going to do in Iron Man, and that was the first time most of us had ever heard it. And it is utter lunacy. Utter lunacy. But this is coming from the lunatic who pitched Superior Spider-Man.
Lunatic? Someone who's inspired by the moon?
Yes. Yes, it is.
That's...
Kind of. Driven crazy etymology. By the moon.
Etymology.
Etymology.
The old producer, Brandon, and I are very upset by this, Tucker. Very upset.
But we know that he's got the capabilities to drive this home. And with Valerio Schiti at his side, I mean, I worked with Valerio on Guardians of the Galaxy. And there isn't a day goes by, like, a character would step on screen, he'd be like, oh, here are 10 designs you could choose from this character. I'm like, we just thought you were going to use like the same design. Like, no. Like, I'd rather do, like, it's kind of like the old one, but I'm, you know, making it my own. And the craziness of what they have planned is wonderful.
Yeah, and it stretches far.
Yep.
I think I remember Dan talking about how this character is relevant in this year specifically, and so we have this story that'll take us and build up these pieces so we can get to this piece over here. And I was just like,
yep.
Dan, what are you? I love you. Yep. You're amazing. He's so good.
Yep.
One more book, Amazing Spider-Man, coming in July.
What?
A new number one. Who's this team?
What? Yes, we have a brand new team on Amazing Spider-Man. Writing it is Nick Spencer. You know him well from Captain America, Secret Empire. Spider fans know him from the Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which is one of the best Spider books of the last like 5 or 6 years. And what Nick has planned here would be awesome in its own right. But then when you know who's drawing it, which is Ryan Otley of Invincible fame, oh boy, he's almost done with the first issue. The Free Comic Book Day story is done. He's almost done with the first issue. His art, he was born to draw Spider-Man.
100%.
Born to draw Spider-Man. Yeah. His Spider-Man, again, you know a great Spider-Man artist when they turn a page and it looks like Spider-Man, but they have their own little twist on it. And Ryan has his too. And you'll look, I would say, look at Ryan. You look at like the lenses, which is, you know, where most people do it too. But he was born to draw Spider-Man. And the supporting cast looks amazing in the adventures. And when you see what Nick has planned, it is crazy. And unlike anything Nick has written, there's elements of the other stuff. Like, you know, his Cap books were awesome. I don't think people really remember how funny they were at times. You know?
Yeah, I think that's an important thing I want to make sure we hit, because Nick is so good at writing comedy, whether it's books for us or like The Fix. And it's like super great book that he does. And he could do comedy, he could do drama, do big superheroes. You need all those pieces in a great Spider-Man story.
Totally. And in a similar way, like that, what Dan loved to do was stretch the character into places that you think like that's not a Spider-Man story. Mm-hmm. But it was, because like that, there was the core of it. Nick has some of those up his sleeve that I think are going to blow people away. Like some of the long-range planning is really, really amazing.
Nick, speaking of that long-range planning, I'm so fascinated to hear, like, what's the process like when you know that Dan Slott is finishing up his run, when you're looking towards the new writer, the new artist for maybe the most famous comic book of all time. Yeah. What's that like? How do you know which direction to go in? Like, who do you talk to? How long has this been in the works?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we knew that Dan was going to be wrapping his run. Like, he'd set his target on 800. Mm-hmm. You know, so I've known that, like, his time was short pretty much since I came on. I knew it was, like, a couple years away, but, right. Like, I knew he was coming up to the end of what he wanted to do. And, you know, I sweated it a lot. But, you know, it's not a decision that, like, luckily I didn't have to make it alone, you know. It was tons of conversations with then-editor-in-chief Axel Alonso, who was hugely important in getting Nick on this book, with Tom Brevoort, you know, and because it was something we sweat a lot with these castings. I met with Nick at C2E2 and then again at San Diego as we were talking, because we'd never really worked together before. And then he just kept throwing out idea after idea that was so cool. Like, this is going to work. Mm-hmm. And getting Ryan Otley was his idea as well. And thanks to, like, help with Ricky Purden, and Ricky and I went and got Ryan. And
Ryan did 160-odd issues of Invincible, something like that number. It's
it's an absurd number.
One artist. Yep. You know, you could have a writer who does that, but an artist, it's hard. Yep. It's a Mark Bagley level of commitment and dedication over the years.
Yep. And you could just tell, like, from the out of the gates, he is a pro. Like, he is a pro, and like, he lives to draw. And you see it on the page, and you see it in talking with him. Like, I feel like such a lucky editor to have him, and so I'm glad that Nick brought him up as, like, you know, why don't we try to get Ryan Otley? I was like, absolutely, I love that idea.
Yeah,
it's a big team effort, and and that book, and we have Laura Martin on colors, Cliff Rathburn on inks, and. You know, and it's going to come out a lot like Amazing Spider-Man often does. So we're not even yet talking about who, like, you know, what the rest of that kind of Amazing Spider-Man family is yet. So we'll be talking about that as we get closer. I like to keep some stuff a little bit more secretive,
sure.
But I'm glad we have an incredible, like, complimentary artist to Ryan that's going to be kind of trading off with him with arcs and stuff like that.
Fantastic. Now, Tucker, I think you guys on the website ran an exclusive interview with Ryan Ottley.
Yeah, it was so cool to get his take on jumping into this book, the character, to Marvel as a whole, and to see like what the specific challenges he's encountering are, what feels like supernatural. One of the things that really stuck out to me, just because it's so particular and interesting, he said like drawing emotion through Spidey's mask is something that is like, you know, for a reader, for a fan, it is so intrinsic to what you read, you know, week in, week out. But you don't, at least I don't often think about how challenging that might be. And he was talking about the lenses, and he was talking about like why he went with his particular design on those, and what his inspirations mm-hmm. were, all of that. Yeah, it's a great interview. And it was just so fascinating to get that kind of perspective, just super fresh right out the gate for this just like insanely exciting time.
Yeah, and we've got some art, so you guys can check that out on Marvel.com. The show notes will have it. That's a lot of comics,
a lot of
news,
stuff.
But it's good.
And that's not even it.
Yeah,
that's not even all. There's so much more coming.
I've got a line written here. One more next week. We may have more than one more, but we definitely have one more. That's what I'm very excited about.
Yes, there's some more coming.
Yes.
It's crazy.
Yes. We'll get back to news a little bit later in the show. So last week I talked about my cat Lola. She had surgery. She had a splenectomy because she has cancer.
Oh, man.
But she's doing great. She's,
awesome.
She's healing up really well. So thank you for all the listeners who sent me tweets and well wishes and everything. That was really sweet.
It's been rough weeks for you guys in the comics community, like Justin Ponzer now.
Yeah, so
been going through
Justin's
stuff.
On my list of things to talk about. I wanted to hear a little bit. I wanted to talk to Ricky, actually, about, you know, how we can help. I donated to
the
Justin's
GoFundMe.
Yeah,
there's a GoFundMe
night
for Justin Ponzer. You can get to through, even if you just search GoFundMe and Justin Ponzer.
Yeah.
So he's been had a couple cancer issues and surgeries. He has a blog post that go into a lot of detail about it if you're interested in reading more. He's such a lovely person, and so having this is so painful for him to be going through. And so whatever anyone could do to help, I know he'd more than welcome it. It's these kind of situations are so difficult to get through, and they're so expensive to get through. You know, and he talks about that on his site, and luckily he has some insurance, but that doesn't even cover nearly everything.
No. Also, we're giving our love to Kevin Smith.
Yes.
He said he
had a heart attack.
Publicly about, yep.
Yep, and he's doing better.
Yeah.
Fingers crossed for Kevin as well.
Sure. All right, it's time for us to dig into some of our books. If you guys listened to the pull list, we talked about all the books out this week. There were so many good books, a giant stack of issues that came out this week. But there are three that Tucker and I honed in on, and I wanted to also bring up Peter Parker, The Spectacular Spider-Man, number 300, because you're here.
Oh, yeah.
But first up is All New Wolverine, number 31. Now, Nick, did you see the greatest bit of business this week, the name of the Pelican?
Panagos the Pelican.
Yes, it's
get
true.
Get out of town.
It's real. It's happened.
Get out of town.
Scotty, in his Rocket book years ago, named a planet Panagos.
Yeah.
But now I'm
now you
both
have a pelican.
A planet and a pelican.
Oh, my gosh.
What? You know?
Have you no shame, Tom Taylor? Have you no shame?
He has no shame. I promoted the heck out of this book. But aside from that bit of narcissism, it's a really great book.
Between Tom and this one is...
Marco Faia.
Marco Faia is fantastic, too. This book, All New Wolverine, is so great. Tom is such a great writer. These artists are incredible.
We talked a little bit about sort of the facial expressions that Marco draws throughout this issue, you know, very expressive eyes and things pop. And
it helps for the Deadpool stuff, especially.
It really helps with Deadpool, but it helps with the characters reacting to and with Deadpool. Honey Badger's been a standout character in this book. You know, she's so fun. Gabby is terrific. But, you know, this one has those big emotional beats too, because it's about family, and it's about the family you make, the family you find, and the family sometimes you've lost. And really, like, the driving character in this is Jonathan, the actual Wolverine, who gets them to the lab where he was rescued from and where his family is. And he wants to go back and deal with that. And they've got this universal translator on him, which helps a lot in communicating.
Yeah.
But those moments, Tom is, you know, another great writer who handles those, like, funny beats, and he brings you up with the Deadpool goofiness, and then brings you right back down with the sad.
Kicks the legs out from the chair under you. It's and then you're on the ground crying.
Yes, all on
like
the ground
usual.
Crying. There's zombie animals in here.
What's not to love?
Yeah, it reminded me of the old Garth Ennis, John McCrae Hitman story where they go to the zoo.
Oh man,
yeah.
And Garth loves a good zoo story. There's also the Punisher yep. zoo story where he gets punched in the face by a polar bear. Or, you know, where he punches a polar bear.
He punches a polar bear in the face. Poor polar bear.
Yeah.
But
I think he had it coming.
Yes. The issue is really funny. It's very gory and violent, and they're fighting zombies.
Yep.
And it's great. It does a really great job of mixing the emotion, the belly laughs, and the cringe-inducing moments.
Yeah.
There's an ending part to this with Deadpool that I really loved, and I want more of Tom's Deadpool.
Yeah.
Although we have a lot of great Deadpool, I also like when he does his little flourishes of Deadpool in this
mm-hmm.
book. Or maybe it's just a Honey Badger and Deadpool team-up book. Yeah. That's what I want. But I particularly love this because of the family aspects yep. to it. It hit home on a lot of pieces. Really great. Wonderful stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Great issue. My pick this week is the least surprising, most predictable pick for me, for listeners of This Week in Marvel, because you know who it's written by? It's written by Dangerous Donny Cates.
Donny Cates?
Come on.
DDC.
DDC.
He's too good.
Jeff Shaw, who is mind-blowing. Colors by Antonio Fabella. Letters by Clayton Cowles. It's so unique in this super unique series.
Hold on. Before you go any further,
spoilers.
We got to remind, we told you on the pull list, we were going to talk a little bit of spoilers on this issue. Because you can't talk about this particular issue of Thanos without talking about the reveal that happened in the previous issue.
Yep.
I'd like to give you guys a little breathing room, but all bets are off.
Only so much breathing room you can have.
Yeah, yeah. You got 2 minutes of breathing room. Mm. So if you don't want to be spoiled about the identity of Cosmic Ghost Rider and you somehow still don't know it, then skip ahead a couple minutes because Tucker's going to dig in.
Oh, yeah. It was so cool as this series started to see online and on Twitter and everything, to see people guessing and to see Donnie interacting with people to try and guess the identity of the writer. And I think he said literally no one got it. No one got it. And why would they? Because the voice of this character is so different from, that's right, Frank Castle. It is such an awesome choice. And we start some period of time long before the events of this series, and we see kind of the last battle on Earth. We see Earth's heroes' last stand. And,
it is horrible.
Oh,
it is like...
Well, Donnie is a horrible person.
Yeah. Was he an intern?
I mean, he's also a lovely person, but he's a horrible person.
He was an intern here 11, 12 years ago, something like that.
Yeah, something like that.
Did you interact with him much?
A little, yeah. I knew him, and we'd run into each other at conventions and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and he'd be like, I'm starting to write comics. I'm like, cool, man, send him over. Like, you know, this guy will never amount to anything. but he surely has amount. I mean, and we love working together on Doctor Strange.
Yeah.
His Thanos book is unbelievable. The Damnation stuff that he's been doing along with Nick Spencer, nuts. This like, he is someone to watch.
Yeah. And
his Venom.
Oh, come on.
Gird yourself, Tucker. Gird your loins, okay?
I want those loins girded.
Gird.
Oh.
We don't want any surprises, Tucker.
So Mephisto, essentially, this story is told kind of in three parts. Frank makes three deals with kind of three different devils. The first of which comes after that last stand on Earth, where he becomes the Spirit of Vengeance, the Ghost Rider. And he kind of lives out for centuries, millennia, for kind of untold periods of time on Earth, avenging nothing. And there's no spirits, there's nothing, there's no damnation to deal out, and he's just kind of biking around.
Yeah, I think what's cool, because no one guessed Punisher, because the Frank Castle that we know changed. Like, his mind went, because he went for millions of years without being able to be who he mm-hmm. wanted to be, who do mm-hmm. do what he wanted to do. And just, that's such a cruel twist for Frank to make his deal with Mephisto. And Mephisto be like, yeah, man, you got this. Here you go.
Yep.
And he brings it back, and everything's gone. There's nothing to do.
Ah, so good.
Yeah. I love what Donnie says, like, on the first page. He talks about Frank Castle's origin, about how he witnessed his family's murder. But then he immediately says, but that's irrelevant to this story. That happened so long ago. That was a Frank Castle of the past that is so long gone.
Before you keep going, there's a really cool mm-hmm. thing in here in the way you sort of get to introduce to Frank Castle, right? First, you know, it's normal, great lettering, but the introduction of Frank as the Ghost Rider, right? Mm-hmm. You have the classic Ghost Rider logo and font and stuff, and it talks about how he evolves. And then the second one, he makes his second deal with this metaphorical devil. There's just a cool like logo treatment that he creates for Ghost Rider, Herald of Galactus. Mm-hmm. And this page here, especially by Jeff Shawn and Antonio Fabela, does such a cool job, and it's so metal. Like, I, when I saw this page, immediately I pictured Ronnie James Dio coming up like from heaven, because he's in heaven. He is beautiful and wonderful, and I miss him dearly. Ronnie James Dio coming down and singing, and just like this beautiful metal soundtrack sweeping into the frame. So good.
Yep.
So he teams up with Galactus essentially to try and take down Thanos, and that doesn't go well for Galactus at all.
But the cool thing is, there's so much we don't know, because they talk about that, like, hey, they just rolled around for a while, taking down pieces of Thanos' entire other series. Yeah. And they just like, hey, why is Galactus wearing a shawl? Why? Where did he get that giant gun from?
I mean, who doesn't want to wear a shawl?
I want to wear a shawl all the time. But how does he get a giant shawl like that? Who made that big old shawl for him? There's so many things that I love about this.
Just go to Macy's, man.
Macy's, you want to sponsor This Week in Marvel? Shout us out.
Come on. Give us some shawls.
Frank Castle, now the Cosmic Ghost Rider, makes his final deal, this time with Thanos, to stick around. And he kind of becomes Thanos' herald in an interesting way.
Yeah, he goes from Ghost Rider to the Ghost Rider, Herald of Galactus, to the Rider.
To the Rider, yeah.
And again, another great text treatment and lettering job there.
Clayton's one of the best in the business.
Yeah.
And then as we move towards the end of the issue, as we kind of see their relationship solidified, someone else shows up. Speaking of Macy's, there's a square where Macy's is, and the name of that square is the name of this guy who shows up, who is also the name of the role that Frank Castle plays to Thanos.
Okay.
Let's if you know what I mean, you know what I mean.
Brandon is clapping behind the scenes with the two of us. I want to throw up on you right now. That was just a lot.
Because
God bless you,
the most famous of that role shows up, and it is so awesome. I don't want to talk about it yet, because this is definitely going to be a bigger part of the story as we move forward, but there's just so much incredible action. Again, the lettering is so cool, and we end on the final page with something so unexpected and so cool, but I'm so excited moving forward. I mean, what a cool character to introduce now.
So the thing that got me here was, well, so many things got me, but you're reading this book, and Thanos is the main character in the series, but he's also a villain. He's evil.
Mm-hmm.
But you're reading it and you're following along, and you sort of get into following his exploits and being like, yeah, this guy, this is great. This is a great story. And then you see the antagonist show up, and you're like, oh, the bad guy's here. The bad guy's here. Yep. And then everything just spins on you. It's like, wait a minute.
There's good guy in there. And so it's like, who the bad guy is at any point is like up for debate.
Yeah.
And then that last moment, like, Donnie has that great skill of the cliffhanger, final page, hook moment.
Yep.
He has it down pat.
He does. He does. Rising star.
Yeah. And Jeff Shaw's art throughout all of this.
So good. Nelly.
Man, Jeff Shaw
Boy, is howdy.
Crushing it.
Yep. He's incredible.
Yeah. He's really great. Also really great is Lockjaw, number one.
Lockjaw.
Man, this love is that so dog. Fun. Is this the first comic by Daniel Kibblesmith?
For us. He's done some stuff for Valiant and some other places, but also works on Colbert, if I'm not incorrect, right?
I believe so. He's done a bunch of late night stuff on Colbert.
Yep.
Pencils by Carlos Villa, who this is Carlos's first Marvel work. Inks by Roberto Poggi. Colors by Chris O'Halloran. Letters, again, by Clayton Cowles. It opens up with chubby Doggo Lockjaw looking at Earth with the word balloon not directed to him, but it's in the frame of You Magnificent Beast, and the title of the issue is Who's a Good Boy?
Yep.
I was in hook, line, and sinker right then and there. So good.
I believe it's an Ed McGuinness cover.
Yeah. Ed McGuinness can draw a dog.
He can draw anything.
He can draw anything.
That dude can draw anything. That's why Avengers is going to rule.
Yes.
Even if Tom Brevoort is editing it.
This issue not only has Lockjaw, but it has D-Man, one of my absolute favorite characters. And it has D-Man at a point which we haven't seen him at in a while, because he had a good run as a supporting character in Captain America. Yep. But he's at a low point, D-Man, and it's really rough. It, you know, Daniel, very funny if you follow him on Twitter. Hilarious, great. Obviously, his you know, late night writing, that's what he does. But he also hits those emotional beats so well. To, yep. If you don't know who D-Man is, you get a little bit of that in here.
D-Man at this point, he's more like F-Man.
Oh.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
But you know what? Maybe we can get him back to A-Man, or maybe even A-plus man.
Tucker, we're going to have to work on some of this. But, you know, D-Man's down in the dumps. There's a breakup. He's lost his powers. Mm-hmm. Not that he had, like, the most tremendous powers in the world anyway.
But he could still hold his own.
Yeah, he could tussle.
Demolition Man.
Yeah, it's good. But he's down in a bad place. Daniel and company create a great side character in the neighbor there. And the neighbor has a dog, a little puppy that is tied to Lockjaw. And there's all these, like, little bits and pieces coming together. We've got shirtless, wonderful, abbed character right at the end.
I saw it. I know
they
it.
Shine, they glisten.
He's one of my favorite characters. Yeah? There's an incredible run of a solo comic that pits this character solo against Thanos.
Yes. Which is so weird.
Yep, that is one of my favorite stories in all of Marvel Comics.
Mark Waid,
Andy Kubert.
Andy Kubert, yep. Mm-hmm. Great stuff there. Mm-hmm. Lockjaw number one, hell of a debut issue for this limited run, so definitely check that out. Now,
I mean, I was just looking through this deck. Again, it's such a crazy time, and there are so many incredible comics that could be anyone's pick. Darth Vader, this current... When Kieran and Salva finished their run, I was like, well, that's one less comic I could read a month. And then all of a sudden, Charles and Giuseppe come in, and it's a totally different Darth Vader book, maybe even better. Like,
unbelievable.
Like, the amount of incredible stuff they do there. Deadpool, again, is one of those unsung books that, I mean, Deadpool is one of the most popular characters in the world now. But Jerry Duggan's run, along with Mike Hawthorne and Matteo Loli and all the people, and Tony Moore, and Brian Posehn, this run is honestly not only some of the funniest comics, but that's what you expect. Some of the saddest comics I've ever read have been this run of Deadpool.
This issue.
Unbelievable.
I talked about this on Pull List. I texted Jerry as I was reading. I was like, Jerry,
Awful things to you when you were little, Jerry? Like, this is it. And then the final issue of Gwenpool's this week, and this book, I'm going to miss this book so much. It is like the most taking up a thread from Grant Morrison, like some crazy Grant Morrison-y craziness, and taking it to another level. And I didn't think that was possible. And Chris Hastings and Guru Hiro, unbelievable.
And doing it in a way that is accessible and inviting.
Yes.
You know, because those really weird, ethereal, head trippy stories can be a little bit much.
Yep.
You know, especially if you're reading them in bits and pieces. But this was very, like, it all connected. Yep. It all made sense.
And that's not even talking about things like Doctor Strange. Like, we could go through this whole stack. I'm just so proud of the work we're doing right now. And it is a magical time to be a Marvel fan. It is a magical time to be a comics fan. And that's also Peter Parker, the Spectacular Spider-Man number 300. Not only does it have a gigantic 34-page story, which is like the biggest story Chip Zdarsky has ever written, with art by Adam Kubert and Juan Fragueri. So Adam's doing breakdowns and Juan was doing finishes on it. Crazy levels of insanity in there, what he's been building to from issue one. And then, if that's not enough, there's a backup story with art by Goran Parlov, colors by Giada, and I'm going to mangle her last name. She's wonderful. Goran brought her in. Giada Marchisio. And it's a Spider-Man Black Cat story that is so delightful and yet sad and wonderful and everything. Spider-Man Black Cat, Chip wrote it, Goran, Giada. I'm so proud of this package that we put together for Spectacular 300. What a great time to be a Marvel fan.
Congratulations on hitting 300 issues for Peter Parker.
Huzzah.
Yeah. Chip's written 300. I don't know how he did it, but man.
I think this is our 10th.
And the cover by Marcos Martin. Yeah, that's my favorite cover of the week.
So awesome.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. Nicholas.
I'm going to go.
I'm going to let you go. Thank you for joining us on all this stuff, for being here. I appreciate it. I'm going to let you go edit some comics.
I'm going to go make some comics.
Yeah.
Everybody listening, thank you so much for having me. I love you guys. Twim forever. And hopefully see you guys soon.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye, Nick. I'm so glad and thankful he joined us for this.
I didn't want to say this when he was here because I didn't want to even embarrass myself, but I really think of Nicola as, like, one of the greatest people at this whole company. Like, when I was an intern, I didn't even work in his department, but he knew my name. He talked to me. Like, and for someone who is like new to any company or new to any community, to have someone like in his position, you know, the editor of Spider-Man, just like give you that sense of time. And now that I've come back and gotten to know him even better, like, oh, what a guy.
He's a great dude. Started out as an intern. Now he's a vice president. He remains humble. He remains lovely.
Yep,
he's the best. I adore him. He's great. But he had to go. But we are still rolling on, finishing up this episode with some news to talk about for this week. One thing that I was excited to see was we got word from Elliot and the Marvel Unlimited team that fans were asking for classic Black Panther stories, particularly Panther's Rage, the story that ran in Jungle Action. They wanted it on Marvel Unlimited. Well, y'all asked. And they delivered. It is coming to Marvel Unlimited next week. But, you know, if you haven't checked it out yet, it's got art by Rich Buckler, Klaus Janson, and Glennis Wien, letters by Tom Orzechowski. It's got Killmonger and Malice. And it really fleshed out a lot about Black Panther and Wakanda. So it's super cool. You can get it as an Epic collection. But if you are a Marvel Unlimited subscriber, we're going to have it for you next week. So get on that one. Jessica Jones comes back March 8th.
Yeah. Can't wait.
Season 2.
Gonna be so great.
That's gonna be good. A couple other quick comic news bits that we didn't get to talk about. Multiple Man getting a series written by Matt Rosenberg, art by Andy McDonald. That comes out in May. 5-issue limited run. It's gonna be just a new tale of Jimmy Madrox's many lives.
I got to have a little peek at the solicit for that. It is probably the weirdest, wildest solicit I've ever read. It is so fun. Just that. So I can't wait.
Nice.
Yeah.
Also, I guess we're talking about it. Cosmic Ghost Rider is getting a series.
Oh.
How much, how, when? We don't know. We just know that Dangerous Donny Cates is going to be writing a Cosmic Ghost Rider series, which I'm excited about. Now that you've listened to our talk about Thanos this week and you know so much more about the character, I'm pretty sure you're going to be excited too. Maybe it'll tell those stories that we were talking about.
Like, right.
I want the buddy cop road trip story of Galactus and Ghost Rider Herald of Galactus.
Yeah.
Rolling through the cosmos, taking down Thanos' empire.
Yeah.
That's the story I want.
Yeah.
Damn it, Donnie. I'm so excited already. One last bit of business. The first episode of Earth's Mightiest Show is out now. Y'all can watch it.
Awesome.
What is Earth's Mightiest Show, you ask? Well, it is the show formerly known as FKA Thwip, the big Marvel show. I just learned that FKA meant formerly known as, like, not too long ago. Did you not know that?
You're teaching me this right now.
Okay, good. I'm glad I'm not the only person.
I really like the artist FKA Twigs, so now I'm learning that her name is formerly known as Twigs.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the show, the program formerly known as Thwip, the Big Marvel Show, it has morphed and turned into Earth's Mightiest Show. First episode is available on Marvel's YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Marvel.com. Any place you watch our videos and see our stuff, check it out. Let us know what you think. But we are still rolling on, pulling in your questions and comments using hashtag ThisWeekInMarvel or emailing us at twimpodcast@marvel.com.
Sam Mason at CaptainEMT6 says, Agent M, I like this. I don't care if I get anything. I am going to find a gif every time you give out a phrase. Hashtag clumpy mushrooms. It was like a cartoon gif of like some dancing mushrooms.
Dancing mushrooms. Yeah. You know, your classic mushrooms. And I think it triggered something in Evil Producer Brandon. He did not care for that one when we shared it on our Slack. That was good. Captain Rogers 44 says, Defenders 10 was a great book from an amazing series. Sad to see it end, but that's how it goes. I'm grateful for the 10 issues we did get. As always, Jessica has to be my favorite part of the book, but he asks Brian Michael Bendis, what is the Purple Man special? Brian, what is the Purple Man special?
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 Simon Williams says, his Twim of the Week for February 21st is Mighty Thor number 704. Now, the scene between Loki and Freya was worth it alone. Also, I didn't know Jane had a husband and son. When was this? I had the same reaction. We'll have to dig into that one a little bit more for you.
Yeah.
And finally, one that came in from Digital Maiden says is a picture of a young man named Holden. Holden's teacher was a victim in the Parkland shooting on February 14th. Holden is a huge fan and just had a birthday. Holden, and we send you love and respect and strength from Marvel offices. Oh, yeah, and happy birthday. I'll send out a tweet to young Holden and maybe something else for you. Little bits that I can do.
Yeah.
You know, whatever I can share, I shall. And that about wraps it up for this episode Woo! Of This Week in Marvel, I do want to make sure we have our question of the week teed up. This one comes in from Jimmy from last week at Jim's to the Jam. What comic would you give to someone who wants to get into Marvel? Like, that's
a great question.
Such a great question. Yeah. I would love it if you guys tossed us also your suggestions for question of the week. But Jimmy, this was a great one. We talked a little bit about it last week. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from you guys listening. If you are giving something to a friend, to a loved one, to someone, what Marvel comic would you give to them?
It's an interesting one because to me, that doesn't necessarily sound synonymous to what's your favorite, because when I think of my answer to that question, I'm trying to think of which comic books take advantage of the medium the best, which ones have the best writing, but also the best art and the best coloring, the best lettering, everything combined. So that's what makes it that's a huge and deep and awesome question.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, it also goes to what is the person like? What do you know about the person that you would give them something?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Really cool. Great one. Thank you, Jimmy, again. Thank you, Tucker. Thanks to Nick. Thanks to everybody listening, tweeting, enjoying the show. We'll be back with another episode next week. Right now, this is Marvel,
your universe.